of character now. We've like taken off our costumes. Layla shaved her beard. We're ready to roll. Night at the Opera, Graham Davis, Part 3. Rough Night and Hard Days. What do we think?
I don't know. So I think it's dependent on being present for all the other bits, and I missed the trial part, so I was maybe a little disaffected by some of the characters. Like, I don't care about these people at all. I basically think she's a Slinish cultist anyway.
I think they kind of try to allude to the fact that she's, like, I think they're trying to say she's probably fine, but she's skirting the line on there where she's playing high and fast with the self-indulgence of it, and that's generally unacceptable.
Right, she's walking the razor's edge kind of thing. Yeah,
but I think she's on the right side of it mostly.
But like the two family things in the crowd, it's like I have no vested interest other than their story things.
Yep.
But it's like, yeah, throw the guy off the balcony.
Yeah.
I'll sit and watch it.
I agree. I had a hard time caring. I was like, I don't know why my character...
I have no authority here. It's not like I'm a cop. I'm not a
guard. I don't
need
to get into the tussle. Yeah. Like, I'm wearing a nice dress.
I'm glad we didn't blow up.
Me too.
Yeah. That would suck.
I wanted the whole gunpowder thing to be more exciting. Like, that seemed to lead to nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah, no follow-up, like, you know, for us to apprehend the guy with the,
right.
you know, smoking cake or something,
right.
you know.
Like, I think I'm used to more conspiracy and, like, it seems like there's a lot of small things at play that keep happening, and I keep looking for, like, the bigger storyline, because that's what we're used to sussing out and really, like, following, and so that's where my nose is really, like... trying to sniff it out, but it's just not coming, so...
Yeah. Familiar faces coming back, but it's like, what's the through line?
Yeah.
Those are all really fair comments, and then the criticism that you're kind of throwing out there is exactly the kind I have for... I think it's actually just this book in general. This particular Rough Night and Hard Days book, at least so far, all three adventures up to this point have been written in a very similar way.
And I don't understand why you keep reading out the time, because there doesn't seem to be any impact.
This time I read out the time because the play started at, like, particular hours, and I felt like the clock was actually relevant. Because
in other...
the prior ones, so a little bit of behind the curtains here. These three adventures, and I'm going to presume the remaining two, are all written on a timetable. So I have, like, you know, 6:05, the following things occur, whether the players see it or not. You know, 6:30, this happens in the antechamber. This happens in the balcony. But I actually really agree with your guys' criticism of some parts of this, where the events of these adventures seem to take place whether you're there or not, which in a way is kind of cool, in theory, right?
It
like the idea of that is neat. Like, there's a little living world going on over the course of an evening, and you guys interject yourself in it along the way however you want. But the difficulty that I, at least I'm finding with these adventures, is that they are written very rigidly without taking into account, it would seem, the implications of anybody interacting with the story.
Yeah.
So it's like, this story makes a ton of sense if you just read it with no players.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
I was going to say, it's story-focused, not player-focused. It's like, the fact that things are happening without us means that we could not be there and they proceed anyway.
Exactly.
They do. And this accounts for one or two things. Like, oh, if you don't disarm the bomb, it blows up at, like, 10:30. But, you know, obviously the bomb has to be defused, because if it's not... They make it really, really easy to defuse at several points. And, so, like, if you didn't defuse the bomb, you would have literally not been playing the game, and also the whole world would be totally screwed, as, like, thousands of people die and the play no longer goes on. It derails itself very quickly from there.
Right.
But interestingly, a lot of all three of the stories up to this point have several events that would typically derail the rest of the story.
Mm-hmm.
Like, anything of substance, somebody getting murdered, right? Like, these are tend to be things that stop people in their tracks, right?
So in the last one, if it had been that I had lost that fight, it would have derailed the whole thing?
They give us one technicality at the end in order for... on a technicality that the Graven is able to postpone indefinitely the rest of the proceedings. But, yeah, I mean, that... You know, like, whether or not any of that happened. Like, why in the world would everybody not just flee when three bloodletters show up and, like, cause a ruckus
right,
in the middle? Like, you know, or, like, there's murder attempts in the middle of the trial. Why not postpone the trial or, like, solve those murder attempts and then do the trial? Like, there's a certain kind of logic that I find trouble with. So I did my best to adhere to the story as intended, tweak it where necessary, but try and keep it on the rail where I could. And I think from my perspective as a GM, I found these adventures incredibly hard to run. This one I thought went better than the last one. I don't know how you guys
felt. It was less adventurous, I would say.
There's just less for us to do.
Yeah.
Like, there's just not a whole lot. It seems really heavy-handed on the story.
The writer's in love with his own story.
Yeah,
yeah.
Totally.
It's railroady to the maximum.
It is extraordinary railroady, yeah.
Yeah, so there's almost no respect for the player agency. And it's like, there's so many character types that just don't interface with this at all.
Yes.
It's like, you know, you show up, I'm a dwarf slayer. It's like, come to the opera.
Right.
Yeah, like, I want to finish this book. There's only two left, and I'd like to see it through. But I think so far, like, if I were to give a review of this book, this is my least favorite series of adventures that this edition has offered. So
no,
far.
I'm, like, really finding myself thirsting or missing just like our typical like adventure where we go in search of something, we travel, there's like a bigger storyline that we're doing, you know, like, I don't know, these little ones, just it's harder.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the you know, we have the opportunity, if we want, we can postpone the remaining two and jump to some other ones. We have two other shorter ones we could do that are also one-offs while we wait for like the Enemy Within campaign. But from a GM's perspective, back for a second, these required what I think is a lot of rewriting in order to make playable.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, you guys can see the amount of notes I had to write to foreshadow characters, and maybe this just well, let me back up a second here. From what I understand, this book in particular is taking five first edition games from back in like the late 80s,
right,
and repackaging them into a loosely knit campaign.
Wow.
So I think this may have been the way games were played back in the day. I wasn't a GM back then, I was too young. But this is the way these were all written, and they leave they do not foreshadow events well. They don't give you the reasons why people do things, and they don't give you the reactions to what people have. And granted, the GM can come up with all that on their own, but without those things, it makes each event that takes place seem very disconnected. And like you said, there's no reason the player should interact with almost any of it.
Uh-huh.
They could just sit there on a chair
and
watch it all and be,
yeah,
like, well, this is fun.
Right.
Yeah.
Like when the two groups started fighting,
they all
sat back and watched.
And
like, you know, whatever.
There's nothing necessarily wrong with that reaction, yeah, either. That's perfectly acceptable. You're like, well, cool, here's these dudes. Just because it was worth 10 experience points.
Security percents anyways,
yeah,
for what we're doing.
Yeah.
We're here in like fine clothing and stuff. So
where's the reason, where's the hook to interact with it, you know? And again, I always find trouble with stuff like this where this is a kind of module that requires the GM sit down with all the players and say, I don't want any elves, I don't want any dwarves,
uh-huh,
I don't want any this, I want a bunch of humans from the city.
Yeah.
Bakers, candle makers, you know, whatever, because you need to have a reason to care about any of this stuff, A. And B, if you're playing the poverty-stricken rat catcher and then somebody else is playing the noble warrior, you don't go together already. Now, on an adventure, it's one thing. Like, oh, you're thrown into this thing and now you have to survive together. Okay, that's stuff,
yeah,
movies are made out of. In,
yeah,
this, it's like, okay, dirt farmer, come along, let's go to the opera.
He's sitting downstairs and you're upstairs.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's a really good point, I think. And this one is also a little bit different from what we've done for the last two, because this one was not a combat-driven one. This,
yeah,
was a social encounter,
mm-hmm,
right? There was a lot of, like, event-driven stuff, but,
mm-hmm,
less the fighting combat, like, I know, Jay, that you enjoy more. But also, I felt like this one in particular, and maybe even the other two, were really just trying to like pluck those nostalgia strings of old Warhammer first edition players. Were like, oh, Oldenhaller. I know that's an adventure for called the Oldenhaller contract. Right. This is that guy. Right. Cool. And like, you know, the it seems like they're doing that kind of stuff, trying to like weave some popular names into a story so you can encounter them.
Yeah.
Like Detlef Sierck is an obvious one. That one, I personally appreciated it because we had recently read Drakenfels.
Right.
So that was cool for us.
It was cute.
But like for anybody who didn't know who that was, that's probably totally just like,
I didn't
whatever.
Catch the reference when you guys were
yeah.
Right? About it. So it's like, for the same reason Oldenhaller probably means nobody, nothing to anybody, right? Like
Random name generator.
Yeah. Like, no, it's like he's part of some other first edition adventure that somebody's played. I think it's first edition. So it's I like what they're trying to do, but I don't think they're pulling it off in the way that's working.
I think if they like stacked these smaller pieces into a bigger storyline and these were just like little side missions, oh, we're in a town, there's an opera, okay, we can do like this side thing, that might work.
Doesn't it seem like that's what they're trying to do, though? Like, we've got...
Let's
discuss for a second what the threads are that do tie them together so we can maybe see what's happening.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, I have not read the next one or the one following it, so I don't know where this ends. But what we have seen is Hubkind has shown up multiple
times
investigating the Graven. Maybe he's done, I don't know, or maybe he comes back still. We definitely have the Graven as our patron, who seems to be the common thread that we follow throughout all five of these, I'm guessing.
Right.
So
Glimbrin, who keeps popping up
Glimbrin
everywhere.
Has popped up now in all three of them as a thief. I have a slight insight as a GM, which I'm not going to tell you yet, into what he has planned later.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the things he's done along the way have sort of seeded what's happening there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got to see that the Fefrauscher guy from the Three Nobles, or the Three Feathers Inn, who was cheating on it with that little common girl, you know, he got to come back and have, like, you know, a second viewing.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like little things like that are coming around. We've got the Ursula Kopfeld. We don't know if she's going to come back, but
yeah.
she's encountered a couple times. So my guess is what the purpose of this adventure or campaign is to expose you guys to various types of life around the Empire under the patronage of a noble for some amount of time. And you kind of get to like experience the walks of life that show you kind of what the world's like.
Okay.
You got to see high society, you got to see an inn. I also think this book was written to give GMs and players a template for building your own adventures in certain settings.
Mm.
For example, if you want to make an opera house, you now have a map of an opera house mapped out. None of that page is linked to any of this adventure. It's just generic.
Mm-hmm.
That's a tool and a description for an opera house. You also have a generic inn from the Three Feathers Inn you can use. You can pull that map out whenever you need an inn. What was the second one? The courthouse.
Courts.
You have a courthouse and an
arena.
That's true. These are toolboxes that a GM has to pull from now.
Mm-hmm.
Take the adventure out of it and just use that. That's the second product they're selling here, I think.
You haven't read it, but have you, do you know what the title of the next section is?
Yep. The next one is right here. It's got a really cool picture, too. I'll show it to you. It is called...
I'm just wondering if you're going to find another...
I think it's just called Nastasia's Wedding.
Oh.
It's called Nastasia's Wedding, and it's got a river with the boats that I presume you'll travel, and then it's got this really, really elaborate castle up on a hillside, which is... kind of Dracula looking.
I was saying, is that the Five Spire one that we were talking about earlier?
Not Drakenfels, but okay. If we really want to get crazy and try and do an old adventure, like Drakenfels is a good old dungeon romp of like fucked up and weird stuff. But this thing I've looked at, it's got a cool map of like a gothic scary castle. So like I think that's also like,
so
hey,
if you need a
castle map, here you go. So we'll see. This is probably going to be a wedding. There'll probably be vampires. There'll probably be undead and stuff like that, kind of that you have to thwart, and could be interesting.
Sweet.
But question for you guys: compared to, I thought Three Feathers went okay. I thought the Day of the Trials was rough.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious how you thought this one went in comparison.
I'd say it was the lowest ranking one in my book of the three so far.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, you didn't get to do a whole lot.
Is it because you didn't get to fight anything?
I'm not. I mean, if I said that it wasn't, I'd be lying.
Okay, but that's fine. I want to know because, like, I want to cater to your style as well.
Yeah, even then, he didn't seem to have anything to, like, really sink his teeth into. I don't know. Like, I found it fun, but only because I think I did the majority of just, like, being a character. I was running around indulging myself. Like, so.
Yeah.
Well, you brought the life to the party.
Yeah, I mean,
you did walk away with an elvish bow.
I did. That's yes. True. No. I mean, that does something. Make it. Yeah.
I thought it was smoother than the three feather. I thought the three feathers was more entertaining.
That was fun.
It was fun. I thought this one went smoother, though. I didn't think there was any reason for you to share the timetable with us because it didn't really factor into anything.
Sometimes it's actually unconscious too because it's literally in front of my face, like 7:05, and I'm like, "That's where I am right now." And I
think this one ranks somewhere between the three feathers and the last one, the trial.
Okay, what do you think, Doug?
Well, I think there was. Chris had a really good analysis of this particular episode, and I think this was probably my least favorite, just based on the fact that what was our incentive to be there, quite frankly.
I think all these adventures lack.
It's like, why did we have to go get dressed up? What, if we're just going to be chasing people around and do it, it was like, I just didn't feel. But where the three feathers, it was totally like, oh, hey, there's something's going on here. Mm. Now we're upstairs and this is craziness. We're not supposed to be messing with her. We don't even know who she is. So it was more like...
organic.
Yeah, exactly. Organic's the perfect word. Yeah.
Well, so... that one, I felt like they were trying to be Agatha Christie and failing terribly, right?
Because it's fair. Three feathers?
Yeah, because, murder mystery, murder on the Orient Express kind of thing, whatever.
Yeah, that's
right?
What it was. Yeah.
But... still don't have any reason to really give a shit, right? We arrived.
Yeah.
We're kind of hanging out. You and I were kind of trying to find a reason to integrate ourselves at the first night, right?
Hey, precisely.
Okay, let's gamble, let's drink, let's hang out. Okay, we're observing this, we're observing that. Somebody paid me some coin to go find somebody and give them a message, which I did. But every time somebody went upstairs, I'm like...
So?
I got no reason to go up there.
Yeah.
Right.
It would be weird if I went up there. It'd be like, why are you following me, dude?
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah.
Get out of here, So it's like every time somebody went upstairs, I'm like, all right, I hang out down here again.
As a GM reading the material that's available to me, I feel totally hamstrung by that kind of scenario. It's like I have, without inserting a tremendous amount of self-built content around each time block and weaving it all together, it doesn't work in my head.
Right. Yeah.
So... in this one, I tried to do that a little bit better, and I think it felt like things flowed better, even if the other criticisms still held, because that, I think, is just a byproduct of the way it's written.
Yeah.
But it there's if we just kind of went with the story as written, there would be so many plot holes, and it's just not the way they're written these days.
Yeah.
Modern ones, like, I believe the If Looks Could Kill, I think that was the first main one that we all did with the basilisk and everything and the swamps and all that.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that one was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That one was written for this edition with this edition in mind, with modern storytelling in mind.
Right.
This, I think, these are just like reeking of an older style of role play.
Well, and even like, so Three Feathers, this is a problem I had. We sat down at the table to gamble or whatever, and we kind of talked to the gnome and the... Well, we didn't know it was a gnome, but the halfling and the other halfling.
I knew.
Right? So we're trying to, like, talk, and I think I talked to... I initiated conversation with three different NPCs that were presented, waiting for one of those to be the one that was like, hey, come help me with this, or hey, do X, right? Get me involved in a way that's like...
I'm going
to
tell you, like, there is not
I tried
a single...
to buddy up to the witch hunter, right?
Right.
The person that seemed to be like the witch hunter, thinking, okay, maybe this is the good guy here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're scary, but maybe this is the good guy, and they're on the side that we're supposed to sort of hang on to.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So I buddy up to the witch hunter, hey, can I give you a hand? Hey, that person looks like a cultist, whatever. And it just felt like all those were just going thump, thump. thump and yeah. I'm just like,
and I can all right, take responsibility. And I can take responsibility for some of that because, like, sometimes if I can't come up with incentive for that person to need you to do something, but I know, unfortunately, what that person's role is.
Sure.
And that person has no reason to interact with you, or there is not, I don't think, a single instance along the way here where another NPC, as written, need anything from you guys.
Right. So we're basically slowing them down, is what's going on.
I mean, in a sense, it seems to me like if we approach these from a different way and view them as a playground, you know, for an evening or whatever they are, that seems to be the way they're presented, right? And this took five adventures that all are similar to that and wove them together.
Yeah.
So the next one, you know, it's a wedding and there'll be some weird stuff going on. You know, I'll read it through and at the most, we have two adventures left. And
also, you know what we're missing is, like, really any sort of super gross activity. You know, like, there's just no supernatural, like, Warhammer-y stuff. Right. Like, where was all the spewing?
You're getting the light Warhammer.
Yeah,
like you're getting, like, you're tickled by Warhammer.
But, we're not getting the full brunt of it.
You're not
it
getting,
at all.
Like, the anus fissure that you get to fall into.
Right. Yeah.
And I think another thing, too, that we're seeing.
I love that you like that stuff. You're like, where's my anus fissure? I want to crawl in. I want to crawl
in. Where are
the
like,
temple?
Bursting boils and all the mutations? And, you
sometimes
know?
When I read this stuff, I think that it's written for a much younger target audience. It's written for children.
Not
being denigrating, but I'm just thinking it's written for a more immature, less world-wise gamer who doesn't recognize the social impropriety of things like, I go upstairs! I'm kicking the door! You know? And it's like, okay, well, that crowd of, oh, you said somebody goes upstairs. I follow them.
Right.
I open the door. It's like, well, now you find the clue. But otherwise, a normal group, we're like, well, you don't just go up and go into somebody's room. I'm going to get arrested, stabbed, shot, whatever, you know. It's like,
pull my dagger on.
And what's it any of my business anyways?
Yeah. So it's just, I don't know. It's almost like a more naive or a more immature type of person might engage with the hooks in a way that I don't think that we as full-grown adults with jobs are like, well, that's improper.
Well, and that's where I keep finding myself, too, because it's like, would I actually pull a dagger out on somebody, like, you know, if I was trying to seriously do this? No, but to carry the story forward, like, all right, sure.
So the root of intimidation for my particular character, just like a thug, like grab him by the shirt, I'm going to beat you to death. I don't have the capacity because I don't have anything to back it up.
Yeah.
So that avenue of story intimidation, I don't have a weapon on me, so now I've got to...
Yeah,
so you lose certain avenues depending on your character, group too, right? It's like, I'm keyed for social, but I can't intimidate without a weapon. You know?
Give nasty, sharp words.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm very angry with you.
Yeah. You can share your feelings. I feel you should not be doing these things.
Well, stab, stab, stab. Once again, what happens in the real world?
Yeah. Beneath my friend's stabbing.
Well, I appreciate the feedback on it so far. I would like to continue it forward and bring it to a conclusion in the near future. How do you guys feel about the length of the sessions for these games? We had, I think, Three Feathers was two, right?
I think the one session's fine.
Cram it into one if we can. I think they're meant to be one session. Mm-hmm. 2 hours is tough. 2.5, I think, is easy to do with these.
Yeah.
I think if played by one, a bite size, like, you can say, okay, cool, in retrospect, you probably have some fond memories of it, but, like, while going through it, a little bit painful is kind of my takeaway.
Yeah.
All right, well, thanks to everybody for your thoughts. Goodbye, audience. We'll see you soon.